All right, guys, it's finally here. We are ready to announce the release of our guest passes for the live event, May 18th and 19th here in New Jersey. It is going to be absolutely an incredible weekend. We've done 7 of these now, and each one gets better and better, and is our mission to make sure that we show up at our best so that we can help you. If you had any hesitation about coming because of flights, because of travel, because of being away from family, the only thing that I can tell you is there are people that have literally built a business, gotten the confidence, met someone who told them one thing. They took one thing away from a live event. They took back to their practice, to their patients. And I think you owe it to yourself, your patients, your community, your family to give yourself a chance to be successful. Sometimes success is just about putting yourself in the right situation, in the right room, to give yourself, like I said, that chance. And so in the show notes, we have an application for a guest pass. If you've listened to the podcast, if you follow our free content, if you follow us on social media, if you get our emails, if you get our smoke signals, and it has been valuable to you in any capacity, just imagine what would happen if you immerse yourself for 2 days. Listen, you guys went to school, you spent a lot of money, took a lot of time, and made a huge investment. And if your business isn't producing at a world-class level, why not give yourself a chance? I think you're worth it. And so do yourself a favor, in the show notes, click the link, apply for a guest pass, see if it's a good fit. And I hope that we can see you at our next live event. To give you a little bit more on the topic, we are going to speak about how to attract your perfect customer. So if you've ever wondered how you can charge higher prices, how you can not always have to use insurance, how you can be in a category of one. If you ever get the, do you take my insurance objection? If you ever get the, oh, but my old chiro charged $50. If that is you and you hear that and it frustrates the living hell out of you like it used to do to me, you need to be at this live event because we are going to teach you exactly how to market and promote your services and yourself and your business so that that doesn't happen anymore. In today's episode, I have a great friend, Jake Altman. Jake has been a member, he was one of our original members of the Mastermind, but more importantly than that, he and I went to chiropractic school together. And, you know, I always say about Jake, he is someone who gave me a chance, even though he didn't really have to. And I mean that because as many of you guys know in your practice, some of the hardest people to work with are often the ones that you are closest to. And Jake is one of those people for me. We were in each other's wedding. You know, we were there when births and family events and life events and went through the hardest times of chiro school. And when I started doing the coaching thing and he was looking for some help, he was humble enough and had enough humility to say, hey, even though we went to school together, even though we have a personal relationship, I think that you can help me and I'm going to give you a chance. And for that, I am forever grateful. As you'll hear in this episode, he's just a one-of-a-kind guy, super thoughtful, has a unbelievable practice that we are building and growing in Long Island. And I can't wait for you to hear this episode. Again, go into the show notes, apply for a guest pass. Jake will be at the event. And if you like him in this episode, you'll like him in person even more. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Business School for the Rehab Chiropractor. Class is officially in session. My name is Justin Rabinowitz, and I am a rehab chiropractor on a mission to teach you, a fellow rehab chiropractor, the exact tools and systems I've used to build my own successful rehab chiropractic practice so you can do the same. I hope you enjoy, and please subscribe. Jake, the number one mindset shift prior to being in ChiroBiz 101 and Mastermind to today?
It's a good question. I would say treating myself and my business as a business and understanding what that entails. I think it's easy, and I definitely fell in the trap of like, all right, well, people pay me for services and I render those services and rinse and repeat. And when things would happen, there'd be more people. There was a certain degree of vanity and like, oh, it's a really busy week. And then when things weren't as busy, like, oh, well, it's not as busy of a week. But kind of the step before that, right, and viewing myself as well, in order for that to continue, I need to have solid fundamentals and operations and protocols, right? And I need my pricing to be right. And I need to make sure that not only the pricing is right, but that the message that's consistent with that pricing, that is required with the appropriate pricing. And that's just honestly nothing that I had done before, despite having been in practice for enough years prior to that. I definitely, without a doubt, would have fallen in the trap of that, you know, same thing 20 years in a row, not wondering what the heck happened.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this question. I think it's going to be a good one. Let's see how this goes. So Jake, obviously we go back a long way. At one point in practice, Jake was charging $90 for an hour, and now Jake is charging about $300 for an hour. What does the Jake of today know at 300 that he didn't know at 90?
So I am actually going to correct you because it was even less than that.
What was it? Well, so it I mean, again, people that weren't at the live event, Justin was at 60. So we've all been there.
65. But you were 60 for half hour. I won up to you by having the same amount for a full hour. No, so I was 75 initial, 65 follow-up or something. And why? And I was thinking about this recently because I had someone who, I think about this specific instance from time to time. This guy wanted to see me. He had sold his business and he did well selling it. And his wife was someone in a financial capacity at the company she worked at. And she called me up. It's like, oh, so... It was the first walk-in I ever had, too. The guy just showed up. I'm like, this is not how this works, but that's cool. Let's roll with it. Because I had the time. And she's like, oh, well, our copay for the other chiropractor in the past was 50. Can we pay you 50? And I thought about this recently, literally this week, because the me of then, like, well, I don't know. There's a certain degree of confidence. I was at an office beforehand that was charging more than that. Quite honestly, I think it might have been 150 for a half hour at that point at that office I was at. But despite having the same skill set, and if anything, from that standpoint, I had been plus or minus a year beyond that. So you could argue clinically, experience-wise, I was even further along. The Jake then just didn't understand the ramification of that pricing. Like, okay... It was exciting, right? So the excitement of having a new thing that was all my own outweighed or blinded me to the fact that the actual math of what it would take me to have a living in an expensive part of the country. Mm-hmm. So the me of then just, I don't know, didn't know what I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people say that your price is a reflection of how you feel about yourself. So what do you feel about yourself and your business today that you didn't feel like back then?
Well, there's always, I mean, for me in particular, there's always going to be this certain element of fear or imposter syndrome, or really just boiling down to confidence. And I had already, at that point when I went on my own, I had already been out 3 years. I never had that, like, you know, that Dunning-Kruger, I know everything when I came out, much the opposite, which is probably illustrated in that pricing coming out, right? Mm-hmm. And early on, you and I literally had a conversation about it, but like the cost of a massage, not a good one relative to my pricing. Mm-hmm. I was less expensive than a crappy massage. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what do we do? Well, I raised it. I raised it to 100. And 75, because what else would I do? Mm-hmm. Let me increase my quality of life by $10 an hour, right?
Yeah.
Look at me yeah. Now. And I guess it would probably be like, oh, well, I can't charge that much, and I'm greedy, or whatever I felt. I don't think there was. It's hard to go back, but I would likely assume there wasn't a thorough thought process about, again, the addition and the math of it all. Mm-hmm. Rather than, like, you know, there was no plan, I guess. It was just, this is what we're going to do. And shockingly, even with that person, everyone accepted. And even actually to that person, with that particular person, I referenced the $50. I think I even agreed to it. Guy was a mess. Mm-hmm. He needed more sessions. And certainly my skill set, even at that point, warranted appropriate price point for that kind of time and one-on-one attention.
But even if, you know, I want to stop you, because that's where the logic comes in that I don't, and I think a lot of new grads and people in practice get stuck there. Even if your skill set didn't accept that, like, you can't eat doing that. So like, it's almost a relevant conversation, no?
True. Certainly. But, and related, like, just fundamentally, where else are you going to get one-on-one attention for an hour that's that comprehensive? And I am, there's always more to learn, but exponentially better of a clinician and especially communicator now than I was then. So just fundamentally from a time expenditure standpoint, but it's just, cost of living was lower at that point, or I didn't know what it would take me to live adequately, right? Not even spending wildly, just functioning.
I think that's an interesting point too, that you bring up about not really knowing what it costs to live, especially if you think about someone coming out of school. It's almost like when you're in school and, we go to Cairo school. So it's like 4 years of college, 4 years of whatever, it's 8 years. You basically just are programmed to like survive being broke. Like no one has money. How do you have money? You're in school. You don't have anything. And you almost condition yourself to live that way. And so then you make business decisions of like, I used to live on like $800 a month in Seneca Falls, New York. So if I can just make 800 after tax, I could probably survive. And that's kind of a lot of business decisions. Now that you say that, I think a lot of business decisions are sort of made that way, which as we know is a very bad way to get into business, no?
For sure. And listen, coupled with money experiences growing up, right? What was your family exposure to money? What were the conversations that were had? What were the situations that played out? Did I always have when I first had a credit card, was there always a certain level of a credit card bill? Was it explained to me that I needed to pay it off every month? Was I making enough money to warrant the expenditures that I was having? I mean, those are like fundamental life lessons independent of career path. But I know for me, specifically, all of those things played a role in and not just what I perceived as being sufficient pricing, let alone what it actually cost me to exist and live.
I got that. Cool. So I think you do well. You and I go back a long way. We taught and mentored in chiropractic school. So you do a good job, I think, teaching maybe some of the younger generation coming out. So there's a bunch of people graduating now that want to be rehab chiros. And, now 12 years in or however long time we've been doing it. What are maybe 2 to 3 pieces of advice or big tips? You're like, I did this, don't do this, not pricing. We talked about it already, but like, looking into that for someone graduating, that's like, what the hell do I do? You've been doing this. You've gone through it. What mistakes did you make so that they don't have to?
Are we talking in a general sense or specific to any particular area?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, go ahead. What do you think comes to mind? What would Jake tell Jake of 20, outside of pricing in 2012?
I think the desire to want and know more, to solve more cases is always going to be there. If you care enough about what you're doing, and that drive to learn more is going to be there, you should want to learn more, particularly clinically. But you and I had a very specific conversation about this that stuck with me. Like what you know is more than most and good enough, in essence, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not that we want to be accepting of good enough. It's just that we actually, and I made the mistake of, even after graduation, which we did while we were in school, right? And that definitely helped out. It helped me get certain opportunities early on with certain clinical seminars. But over leveraging on the comfortable factor and on based on the perception of, well, I need to get better clinically because that's going to keep people coming to me, when that is, the longer I've done this, I've understood that technical clinical component is, I would argue, less than 20% of what we do. Right? Exponentially more, or able to say at the largest percentage of it, 90% perhaps, is communication, consistence, clear communications, expectation management, the interpersonal relationship skill, all of those factors. And so over leveraging on clinical skills because of the perception of needing to know more is okay to take clinical seminars, but not at the expense of focusing on the things that are going to keep your family alive, let alone thriving. Yeah. Nourished. Yeah, like baseline satisfactory level. And those are business skills that I just lacked. I'd been exposed growing up to people who owned businesses, but like I didn't know that I needed to learn more. I knew that our business classes in school weren't sufficient, but I didn't know that, well, I really need to lean into that much more if that's what I'm lacking. I just went with what was comfortable, what I liked doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that happens too in many situations is a lot of us end up starting our own practice mostly because we're running away from something, rightfully so. Like we're in not great situations. So we're not like running towards, I want to be this business owner. It's like begrudgingly, our situation was bad enough. And then at some point we just sort of get into it. And then it's like, oh crap, there's a lot here that I don't know. And I think I know for you in various reasons, that was a lot of it. It's like, I know deep down, and I think deep, I know for you, and I'm hearing your comments on it. Deep down, there was a level of conviction in how you wanted to treat patients. That was sort of the gold star, so to speak, that we wanted to go after. And then really what played out, I think, was that business stuff, it's not as important. And I think for most people, that's probably, you went to chiropractic school, you can go to business school. So you want to treat a patient a certain way. And so that played it. Does that resonate with you? That's sort of what played out for a while?
1,000%. So I had the benefit of the first place I worked in, I was kind of left alone to do whatever I wanted. I had a half hour with people, which is more than most. I could do whatever. I maybe got asked twice in a 2-year span, like, oh, you know, because there were physical therapists, there was a multidisciplinary clinic, like, you know, maybe let the PTs do the rehab. And it wasn't directed at me. It was a general commentary, but obviously because I was doing more, let alone possibly better, but that's irrelevant. But the second place I worked at, which was really what pushed me, like, I'm going to do my own thing, carve my own path. This is how it should be, like what you suggested. I didn't like the business practices. I still could generally do what I wanted to do, but I had a little bit less time and a greater pressure to do a whole slew of things that I just didn't feel comfortable with. And so if anything, that experience, although it facilitated my faster exit out of that opportunity, it did probably left a bad taste in my mouth about being, you know, the perception of unscrupulous business tactics, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if anything, that in hindsight may have determined my pricing methodology, conversations, and just behaviors. And then I never really thought about it till now, but I think that probably left enough of a taste in my mouth. Well, I don't want to be that.
Yeah,
that's not at all what I agree with. So, but then if I wrongfully perceive certain behaviors as being the same, well, of course I'm going to shy away from them, but that was where I probably erred as well.
It's an interesting thought. And I've thought about this in another context. I'll get clients that come from a certain, I'm not going to use the name, but like a certain corporate setting and not the joint, actually. I'm not talking about the joint, another corporate setting that what I've heard a few times is that it's okay, but they're so numbers driven. And I remember in what I do, part of me is like, well, of course they're numbers driven. Like, who, if you're going to get paid in Pop-Tarts, then we'll be Pop-Tarts driven, but your money. And so I understand the sentiment, but at the same time, you know, I wonder what that actually means, because I'm numbers driven and our business is numbers driven. And really, you're all numbers driven. Unfortunately, for most chiros, they're numbers driven and that they don't have any numbers in the bank account. So, but like, how do we, because the idea of like, okay, I don't want to be that, so that means I'm going to go the other way and not make any money. Well, that's not really useful either. I don't know what this is. A good conversation. It's getting sort of, I think there's a lot of people listening to this that are in practice now that feel this way, and they're going to be like, oh my God, no one ever put words to it. So what is it balance, or is it, what's the understanding of, I don't want to be that guy like you described, but this business does need to run on numbers. It does need to make money, and not that I deserve it, but that I need to provide for a family, and that requires numbers.
I mean, having gone through it recently with, right, like over, you know, a few month period, a little bit of a downward trend previously with some monthly revenue, I've been feeling it real time, even at different numbers, right? Like you said multiple times in the past, right? The behaviors of the past can show up, right? Or what got us there will get us stuck. And so I'm running into that different price point and monthly revenue point. But specifically to your question, it's math, right? And looking at the math, I think, yeah, any of those corporate entities have to be numbers driven because they have a bottom line. But I think if we don't understand what our bottom line is, whether it's our base camp at home or what it takes to keep the lights on professionally, or really both, I think both matter, then they're just, I think those numbers default to or whatever emotional connection to them would be. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to be high volume, so I want to see fewer people. I'm going to see people for an hour. And that's fine, right? But as you've said, and I get it. It took me a bit, but I get it, right? If you're going to see less people, you need to charge enough money to warrant that. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the biggest things that I had, as we mentioned before, right? Like, and it's not charging as much as humanly possible, right? You let the market decide, and there's a general range of which one should be, but it's math. If you're going to see 15 or 20 people a week versus higher volume practices seeing whatever they see a week, right? Who knows how much? There needs to be enough to grow the thing, even if it's still a single practitioner entity forever. And I just didn't understand that, or else I would have had different pricing.
Yeah, right. So you came into our VIP room and you had raised your price a lot, but we sat down and said, all right, got to go do it again. This is the next step. Talk about, it's one of those things where it's like people in life, they, well, I know what to do. I just need to do it. And if I lose weight, right? I know what to do. I just got to do it. It's like, dude, you've been saying this for 25 years. Maybe talk about the peer pressure that like I very strategically instituted in there to finally get you to where, like, because I think so many people out there, they're doing it alone. It's lonely. And it's like, I know I need to do this. I just need to do this. I do need to do that. But being surrounded by people that will actually hold you accountable and make you make that decision. So why don't you talk through that experience?
Well, it actually relates to, you know, you said two or three things before about like what I should have done then or didn't know then versus now. And I think that's getting out of a comfort zone, right? I was in the same building when I started my own entity as a CrossFit gym, not in the gym. I was on the other side. It was interesting setup, but getting out of my foxhole, and I would go to their classes on occasion. I didn't live nearby, but that's a lame excuse in the absence of having children now and a dog and from girlfriend to fiance to wife, right? Like I would remember distinctly, I got dowels and I practiced Olympic lifting in my office. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret practicing it. So I didn't want to make a fool of myself, but what I perceived as, well, I need to come in with enough knowledge so I don't look like I don't know what I'm doing. When in actuality, no one gives a rat's patoo because I'm there to learn. If my presence matters more than my knowledge. And so that lesson, fast forward to now, of, you know what I need to do? Like, I know that all of these, I get emails every day, I'm sure you do too, like, hey, 30 qualified leads and coming right to your office. Like, well, no, they don't understand what I do. They don't understand the paradigm. They don't understand what we focus on. They don't understand our perfect patient. None of those are helpful. But fundamentally, the biggest thing I need to leverage right now is marketing. And I've been doing it, but that's where the peer pressure factor comes in, right? That's where all these high level achievers are in this room. And what do they have? What are they doing that either I do or don't have or need to have mindset wise, even let alone skill set wise? And what is the success they're having and why am I not achieving the same success? So that's kind of like the unspoken effects of the peer pressure. And then there's the direct peer pressure. Everyone knows you need to do this by this date and everyone's counting on you to do it. And then I've learned over the past year, having, you know, now effectively two hires, that I'm doing a better job of being more accountable to myself, but I do better when I'm held accountable by other people. I always show up for patients. I always show up for my meetings with the two staff members I have now. And so once I realized that, then the peer pressure of having all these people around me who I respect a great deal, who are all high achievers on their way to, you know, increasing levels of success and growing their operations, well, I better put my money where my mouth is and do the same things.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great. What was the change for you? I begged you for years to get on online and Instagram and all that. But again, I think you're super articulate and you'll be able to explain. But the reason why I say that is because there's so many people out there that whatever you felt as to why you haven't and what changed and what forced you to kind of get doing something that we know we should have been doing. You know, there's so many people listening that they know they need to go and meet the gym owner, or they need to get on Instagram, or they need to ask for the sale, or they need to this and this and this, and they just aren't doing it. What happened for you where you finally said, like, I'm gonna make that leap? And you've done a really great job. I wanna say that you've done amazing just by doing it. But you're actually you know this. You're good at it too. But tell me what the change was.
Well, that's it. That's the funny part of it, right? Like, I was in a freaking college a cappella group before Pitch Perfect. So before it was cool in quotes, right? I'm tailor made to do this stuff.
Yeah.
I just didn't think about it that way.
What do you mean? What did you think about?
I don't know, the internet's a scary place. And then you go online and all these internet warriors and people judging and saying awful things. And then especially in our rehab realm, like, oh, well, no, manual therapy is the devil and you're the devil if you do it. Or if you don't talk about pain science, you don't even understand pain and all this nonsense. And here's the truth. Those other practitioners, even our supportive colleagues, they're not our audience. I don't need to talk, and I'm working on getting better at this, and I still need to. I don't need to talk at a level of clinical complexity, even though my patients are very smart, because that's not actually helpful to them.
Yeah.
So once I realized that my audience is not my friends, that was a mindset shift.
So let me pause you on that, because I remember, you know, early out of school, there is always that, what are the other people going to think of me? My colleagues, and even if you say it, it's still hard to realize. And how do I know this? Because I watch what our clients and what some new grads, what they post on social. They are open their business, they open their practice, the Rehab Cairo, and they're posting things that they know internally or intuitively that their Cairo friends are going to be like, yeah, that's great. And I just look at it and it's like, your patient, who that's why you're here, they don't care. They don't know what you're talking about. It is completely irrelevant to them. And it's that mindset. It's actually, if you think about it, it's quite selfish, because we're so consumed with what we want other people to think. We forgot to think about who is the end user of this. Why are we doing it in the first place? Because we're trying to give some sort of value to our potential patient on the other end. Full disclosure, we're in a streak now. You've seen it. We're running a lot of paid ads. And so I'm getting these wild comments on some of these videos. The reason why, like, it's literally entertaining for me is because none of those people, I don't know who they are, but they're just people randomly getting my ad. They're not my audience. They're not people that I would attract anyway. And so it's completely irrelevant. So that's why it's hilarious. Now, if it was people that I think should be in my group and they were saying hateful things to me, I should probably consider my message to change my message, because it might not be resonating the way that I want. But it's just like, I'm just getting stray bullets at this point from randos. So it literally is entertaining. The other thing that I'll mention here, and I want to get back to it because I know you have more to say about it. I didn't even know she did this, but taking what you just said to the next level, and this is gonna hurt a lot of the people out there listening to this. Kaylee, who is our Instagram expert, at the live event, I didn't even know this, on Strive to Move's business account, she doesn't follow chiropractors back. Why? Because she doesn't want to mess the algorithm up and follow people that are not in our area. So if you want to talk about, like, acting in a way, like, I don't care, Jake, you're my friend, I love you, I'm not following you on Instagram, you're not going to be my patient. That is completely irrelevant to me. Right. And so all of these people out there that are like, oh, can you follow my page and follow my page? It's like, if Justin's following your page and you're in Omaha, Nebraska, like, that's irrelevant to you. So don't tag me in your post. Don't do that. It's completely irrelevant. Now, the opposite is not true, because if you're a Rehab Cairo and you're in Zimbabwe, like, I think I can help you. So I want to tag you and be friends with you. But to that level of specificity and focus, that don't care, like, if you're not in my area, you're not going to be my client, I'm not going to follow you. So what are your thoughts? Give me some more, because I know you have more thoughts on the judgment and getting sort of through that side of it.
So actually, it's funny, because I was trying to repost my, because I made a professional account. I already had a long existing personal account, and I would just repost stuff about my kids for my wife, effectively, or my dog. But I realized this week I was trying to repost something from my business account on my personal, and I couldn't. It's like, well, that's weird. So I went through the business account setting, and it's like, oh, I can only people I'm following can repost the content. So I followed myself with myself, from my personal to my business, just so I could repost on my story, because right now I can't post reels because of an Instagram thing we're working through. But I did that. And then I said, hey, please follow my new business page. Just put on my personal. And from there, I got a few more followers, because even if they're not people I already know, the chance of, like, being able to have that grow the account and have more of a wider reach is there. So I wasn't even following myself, but I've run into that a little bit as it pertains to what Kaylee had said. I I think it's also a lot of the followers I have now, and it's not many, but like people, everyone's supportive. There's no one on there's like, oh, hey, this stinks or this sucks, or that's not true. Like, that's not happening. And even if it does, at least they're seeing it, right? Like, I think it's just a mindset shift about it. And even as a, like, I did something 2 weeks ago with one of the trainers here who's also a patient, and like describing, well, how do I know differential diagnosis? Now, I want to lean into the stuff that I think is cool and exciting, but the mindset shift about that was not, oh, this is fun, I like to show this. It's, what are people going to get here that they're not going to get elsewhere? Mm-hmm. And really value for a unique solution, right? One of the core sales objections, I know you've mentioned a bunch of times on here, like, how can I demonstrate value for a unique solution in the context of clinical differential diagnosis?
Yeah, I love that. And so I like how you're taking some of the objections or the reason why people might not work with you or say you're too expensive and reverse engineering back into the content that you're going to put out. And actually, that's a pretty tactical lesson that is nice to discuss, because another question that often comes up for many people out there is like, all right, Justin, you tell me to do social media. What the heck do I do? And one of the best things you can do is what Jake just said. It's like, think about all the reasons why someone wouldn't work with you. And now you got to go into the psychology of the patient. And so what Jake mentioned, that value for unique solution, is one of our 5 sales objections that we teach in the mastermind and Biz 101. And basically that means, why do I perceive you to be different than the guy down the street? So outside of chiropractic world, it's like, if I said to anyone listening to this podcast, what's the difference in your town between $500,000 house and $2 million house? And you would give me more bedrooms, more land, more this, more that. That's value for unique solution. It's more expensive, and here's the reason why. Now, whether someone decides that that's valuable to them or they can afford it, it's a different conversation. It's just understanding that there is a difference. So I guess from your perspective, I'm going to say it properly. You are on Long Island, not in Long Island, on Long Island. There is tons and tons and tons of competition and chiropractors there. And so when we talk about value for unique solution and being different and someone that may find you through that, what is some of the content? What is some of the messaging? What do patients tell you when they arrive in your office and are happy to pay $300 per visit when they could pay the $30 to $50 copay elsewhere? Well, why don't you talk to me about some of that, and it might give our audience who's out there some more context about what they can use in their own messaging and marketing.
So I think a lot of the reason why, especially I've had patients who were with me from those early times, and they've stayed with me through price changes, which I frankly appreciate more than anything else, right? Because in essence, they're paying a large percentage more than what they used to pay. They've stuck through it because they perceive value, and they know that I have their best interests at heart, and they know that I, at the end of the day, like, we're going to get the job done. And I think it's not that other offices aren't invested in those things. I just don't think they're always set up to have those things happen. So whether it's a managed care time expenditure standpoint, even small businesses, let alone, you know, larger corporate entities, that's the benefit, right? Automatically, you're not getting one-on-one time with the doctor for an hour. You're just not, let alone in our process, right? As I know a lot of the listeners and group members, I should say, do, people chat with me on the front end. And even if that changes at some point because of a critical mass of enough influx of leads, I will still see people at this point for the consultation discovery visit. It's complimentary. Mm-hmm. People don't get that. I had a patient who, sorry, today, who recently signed on with us for a plan of care. She had mentioned that specifically. It's like, no, it's nice that you do that because, you know, in essence, she mustn't trust that she's in the right place. And she had seen a bunch of different providers on Long Island. She traveled to Queens. She lives actually really close to my office. I apparently have become, and soon to be no longer, the best kept secret in my town. That's not acceptable anymore, right? So I've actually cared less and less and less about the fact there is such a density of providers. Or actually, let me restate that. I've cared more in the sense that everything we're doing is nothing that anyone else is doing, yeah. Right? Like, as we've been coached, here's a box mm-hmm. for a patient who already gave me a plan of care
right.
last week, and I'm giving it to him. There's no one else doing that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how many people there are. There could be a chiropractor across the street, next door, wherever else. It's irrelevant. I ran into a situation recently where someone was price shopping based on seeing a provider. Actually, I know, but that's one out of 20, 30, whatever. Like, that's an exception. They happen to see someone else in the vicinity that has a similar model. But outside of that one example, there's a lot of people we can help, and they just need to hear about us.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, prior to this recording, I recorded with Sean and Monica. And the conversation I had with them, which I want to have again, and maybe these are back to back, good, because if I say it enough, hopefully people will listen. Sean is treating me PT right now. And the craziest part about the world that we live in, and I was thinking about this at the gym this morning, is that you've heard like pain is a gift, which is kind of BS, right? It's kind of BS. However, I was thinking about this morning, and in my situation and in most, it actually is. So I was at the gym this morning. I'm thinking about the situation. So my neck for the last few years, on and off, not that bad. Desire, not that bad to get it treated. Kaylee would treat me every once in a while. No big issues. I noticed every winter when it gets colder, my hands over the past year has gotten a little bit colder. But again, it is what it is. I'm fine. No problem. Last week, 2 weeks ago, it's been getting worse. Hands have been getting cold. And got to the point that for the first time ever, I took Advil or ibuprofen because I was like, this is like uncomfortably cold, right? Uncomfortably cold. And so I told Sean, I'm like, listen, I need a plan of care. Like, can we do this? He came over yesterday. And so he does his functional assessment as he normally would. And his diagnosis essentially was that I lack globally like external rotation. So my shoulders don't actually rotate, my hips don't actually rotate, my feet, my rib cage doesn't expand and move the way that it wants to. And so we're doing exercises to essentially, if you think about it, to open me up, so to speak, right? And at the gym this morning, I was thinking about it, and I'm sure you've had this experience. We all do. We walk down the street and we New York City, and we look at like an old frail man, right? He's flexed at the hip, he's rounded at the shoulders, his hunchback, his neck is out forward. And I always think to myself, I was like, how did he get to that? How did he get there? Right. And yesterday I thought to myself, like, I know, because that would be me. Because I'm 37 right now. I'll be 38 in a few weeks. I am starting to get what? Stuck. I can't externally rotate. I can't externally rotate my shoulders. My hips don't externally rotate. My hips are starting to flex more. My neck is starting to protrude. My thoracic spine isn't moving the way that it needs to. I'm just getting in that old person posture. Now, I'm 37, 38. So it's not going to happen today. But if it's like this at 37, 38, what's it going to be like at 30, at 40, at 48, at 50, at 60? At some point, I'm going to get there. Right. And it won't happen all at once, but eventually it's going to be like, wow, what the hell happened to that guy? Right. And I was thinking pain was the best gift. Why? Because if I felt fine and my neck didn't bother me, my hands didn't get cold, I wouldn't have gone through the process of paying the money, which I did, spending the time, which I will and am, to get the treatment that I think is the thing that's missing for most people in their aging. Now, I'm not talking about curing cancer and I'm not talking about diabetes medication, but like from a physical standpoint, how do people get old? Like I literally just described the process, and it just made me think about the things that we do in our practice and how valuable it is for people over time. Now, the challenge from a business standpoint, if I switch hats, my business standpoint on, is that most people don't walk down that path that I just did. Even I didn't do it until I was in pain, which for me means that us getting out in the community and getting on Instagram and shouting from the rooftops and not being the secret in our town to have an attempt to take that guy or girl that is 35 or 45 or 55 and let them know that, yeah, today you're okay, but that guy didn't get old and frail at 80. It started now. It started before. And we have an opportunity to really, I believe, change people's lives if we can just get them to understand. Now, whether it's the Peter Thiel longevity idea or it's posture correction or it's this or it's that, like whatever you do, it's irrelevant. But the reality, I think, is that we are so valuable to helping people over the long term. The challenge that we face in business is that it's just not that relevant today. And the biggest value we have is for helping people over 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And that's a terrible and hard place to market, but it doesn't mean we don't try. So that was my revelation today. And hopefully that gives people confidence that even if you are scared of getting online or meeting people or doing that, that I believe that we as Rehab Kairos have such an important thing to share with people and such an important gift. And I'm going to continue to shout from the rooftops that we should preach our message, whether you are afraid of the haters or don't like them or afraid of people getting mad at you or they're going to call you crazy. Because to me, the mission is significantly more important than the little shit that's going to happen along the way. What do you think, Jake?
I've always said that about you. Great guy, best coach in the game, lacks external rotation. I've always felt that. So I'm glad that Sean and I are in agreement. But seriously, it's previously we talked about, you know, like early in my career, oh well, that's fear mongering. We don't wanna scare tactics, get them committed, but fundamentally no. Because if we don't tell people what they need to hear, that it may not be bad right now, but there's an inevitable decline if we don't cause some favorable adaptation here. We don't provide a stimulus for you to get better. And what's going to look like when you're 5, 10, 15 years from now? And that relates to what people like to do, right? That relates to what their goals, their desires are, their hobbies, you name it. And I have plenty of patients who are like, oh no, I stopped playing that because I couldn't anymore. Just really got out of my bag. I was like, well, why? Why'd you have to stop?
Yeah.
And I'm all for modifying behaviors, but that's the downside of people not knowing about this, is how many people aren't going to be able to be helped in the future if they don't know about us now. And so that was a big mindset shift for me too. Like, because it was, what I perceived before as the feelings around letting people know, oh, it's going to be bad at some point. Like, that's not it. It's like, no, you have loved ones that you care about, right? It's hard to see people age. It's challenging. And I thankfully, personally, and I mentioned this on my Instagram because he's a rock star. I have an 89-year-old that I see. Mm. He's almost, in May, he'll be 89 and a half, but he doesn't care about the halves. He doesn't, you know. He's almost... He's an octogenarian and won't be that much longer, right? Like, that dude works out 5 days a week. He's doing everything he can. And I honestly would not be surprised, and God willing, you know, knock on wood, he lives to whatever years he lives to, but he has years left in his life and he's pushing to have life left in his years. And that, to me, I can always pull him out because he is an excuse buster for people.
Right.
And he's remarkable. And so if I can get more people to have that mindset or to, you know, use him as a beneficial tale, it's no longer scare tactics. It's like, well, listen, this is quality of life, right? This is what we want. He wants to start be able to jog in the spring. He's 89.
Yeah, I love that.
I know people who are half his age who wouldn't consider jogging a block.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. So I think that is the mission, right? Like, how can we help the most people, right? And then it goes back to, well, I need to have the right process in place in order to grow my team because I won't be able to help as many people if I don't grow.
Right. Right.
And then it kind of all starts to click and make sense and understand, like, from when I previously was like, well, I don't know how big I want to grow. I was like, well, no, I need to grow bigger. I don't know how big. It's not like a national franchise, but like I need to help more people and people need to know about what we do more. And at some point it won't just be me. So it's a we. Mm-hmm. So that's been fueling a lot of the positive steps I've been trying to take for that exact reason. Right.
Yeah. I love that. So before we wrap up, one more question for people that are on the fence or skeptical about, you know, taking ChiroBiz 101, joining Mastermind, what would you tell them?
Two things. the amount of money is less relevant than you might think, right? The cost to doing it. And this is something that you've mentioned before, like, what's the cost of not doing it? It's effectively the same conversation as the conversation that you just mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. What's the cost of not trying to encourage more mobility or more external rotation? Like, where does it go for you? And for those people that are on the fence about Carbis 101, what's the cost of not doing that? Because the definition of insanity is, I'm sure everyone knows, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I have been there. I have lived that. And if you perceive as Carbis 101 as being too expensive, what does that really mean, right? Because I think not doing it is infinitely more costly than doing it, coupled with the fact that no one is above the basics. Fundamentally, the way a business grows is by meeting more people, having more people come in. And just because I've been practicing since 2012, it does not make me above marketing. If anything, that's all I should be doing. And so it's killing at the basics. The killers in our group, right, are the ones that just hit it out the park with that. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. There's no reason. So like if we view Carbis 101 as being beneath us, if that's the reason someone's on the fence, well, that's nonsense. Because core values, how many companies don't have that? How many, like when I interviewed people, how many people just outright complained about the toxic work cultures they were in? There's a lot of bad businesses out there. And even if they are existing, they don't have good culture. So those fundamentals in the early phases of the programming are without a doubt mandatory, not just something you should do. Like people need to do it, independent of the cost.
Love that. Excellent. Excellent. And before we wrap up, Jake, I wanted to express gratitude to you. You are obviously my friend first and foremost, but that being said, you trusted me enough to actually help your business early on and were one of the first people to do it. I'm proud that you've grown so much and your business has grown and that this isn't a charity case, that you're not here because you're my friend. You're here because we're about getting results and you have gotten results, which makes me very proud. I'm so excited for you in the future to see as you add team and as you realize what you actually can create and get your message out there and put posting on social more, that I truly believe that the best for you is yet to come in your business. And you know, anyone that meets you loves you, your patients, your staff. So I think it's going to be an exciting time, and I'm happy that I'm along for the ride. So I thank you very much. Where can people find you on your new and improved social?
New and improved social. There it is. So my handle is Prime Perf, short for performance, PERF, Sports Cairo. You'll see my shining smile and the icon. First thing Kaylee told me, by the way, when they messaged me, because your office, you know, Stride Move had auto responded, like, hey, we're located in New Jersey. Where are you? I was like, hey, it's me. Like, Kaylee, it's me. It's like, first thing she said, I'm like, oh, hi, Jake. She's like, change your profile picture to your face now.
Yes.
And I did. So we've been having a ball with it, and there's a lot more to come for that. And that's probably the easiest way to reach me these days. And I've had some people reach out already, like someone, I don't even know where they're located, but I need to get back to them. But, you know, a practitioner in another country who's like, oh, hey, how do I do what you do? And I'm going to tell them the same stuff that we spoke about today.
Yeah. Right. I love that. Good. Spread the message, man. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I know everyone will enjoy this episode. Before you go, listen, we are in live event season, and I am going to tell you, you need to be at our live event. Please, please, please go into the show notes here, click on the link to apply for a guest pass. Someone on our team will get in touch with you. You need to be there. Please give yourself a chance. I'm begging you. If you really hate it, just come up after and tell me, kick me in the shins, do something crazy. I don't even care. It's never happened. There's literally never anyone that's never left there who hasn't had an unbelievable experience. So I'm asking you, I'm cordially inviting you, go into the show notes, apply for a guest pass, May 18th, 19th, any way you can get there. Please, can't wait to see you there.